leave your doll out with his mama too. Lean back and stay a while now with his mama too.
Remember this Christmas and every Christmas, every woman alive wants Chanel No. 5. And do you remember this?
A fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty hi-yo silver. The Lone Ranger.
The Lone Ranger and all the great radio heroes will be the subject of our discussion on Monitor. Listen, my children, and you shall hear of the radio heroes of yesteryear. And children today don't know what they're missing. They'll find out, however, from a new book by writer, broadcaster, and radio fan Jim Harmon. The title is The Great Radio Heroes. Jim Harmon, take us back to the days of the radio immortals in spirit and on tape, and I think we're going to have some fun.
I certainly hope so, Ted Steele, and thanks a lot for having me on one of the few great radio shows left, Monitor.
We agree. Let's start off with the one about the horse. Now, that should bring back a lot of memories to folks.
With the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty hi-yo silver. The Lone Ranger.
Great memories, Jim. You know, one of my first jobs with NBC was in a little room down on the second floor here in 1939, auditioning and timing The Lone Ranger for NBC.
Well, I think you did a good job of it because I heard a lot of those NBC releases, NBC transcription features.
The Lone Ranger had a fabulous run. How long was that on the air?
It ran from 1932 to 1954 live. Hmm. And then it was carried on the networks for several more years. And then just a few years ago, it was revived and it's still carried on, you know, maybe 20 or 30 stations around the country. So it's still going
it
on
is.
Radio.
Good. Let's reminisce once more.
As the bullet seeks its target, shining rails in every part of our great country are aimed at Grand Central Station, heart of the nation's greatest city. Drawn by the magnetic force of the fantastic metropolis, day and night, great trains rush toward the Hudson River, sweep down its eastern bank for 140 miles. Flash briefly by the long red row of tenement houses south of 125th Street. Dive with a roar into the 2.5-mile tunnel which burrows beneath the glitter and swank of Park Avenue. And then, Grand Central Station.
Jim, I'll bet that shook up a few people.
Yeah, I think a lot of people remember Grand Central Station very fondly. It was produced and directed by some of the great names in radio production. People like Ed Byron and Hyman Brown did it at various times. And I think it's a shame that the anthology program, such as Grand Central Station was, with its crossroads of a million different private lives, I think it's a shame that that type of programming has just about disappeared, not only from radio, but from television. I think the things that can be achieved by the anthology drama are often superior to what can be achieved with a program with continuing characters.
Our guest on Monitor, Jim Harmon, author of the new book, The Great Radio Heroes. And once again, we go back a few seasons.
One man's family is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Tonight we present Chapter 6, Book 43, entitled Paul Barber, The Convalescent.
That was such a beautiful show, Jim.
It certainly was. It was written, produced, and directed by Carlton E. Morris, one of the great talents in broadcasting. In my opinion, some people think that some of the writers of the more poetic type of special presentations were the great writers of radio, but I think Carlton Morris was the greatest writer in radio. And I'm happy to say that he's still active, and he's working on a new NBC television series based on his other great show, I Love a Mystery.
Ah.
That's coming up as a 2-hour movie on NBC TV.
Good news. Here's a chap you may remember.
Henry!
Coming, Mother.
Ah, one of the real lovable characters of Radio Land. How about Henry Aldridge, Jim?
Well, Henry Aldridge or Ezra Stone, whichever name he prefers, will always be younger than springtime.
Last time I heard about Ezra, he was out on the coast doing films.
I think he's a director out there, right?
And he also had a big herd of Ayrshire cattle here in the east. I don't know if he transported those west.
I wonder if his friend Homer is still hanging around and helping him out of jams.
I wonder, too. Jim Harmon, who are some of the actors whose names we know today who appeared in the early radio dramas? What parts did they play?
Well, if you want people that are, you know, have gone on to perhaps greater fame than they enjoyed on radio, Tony Randall played the part of Reggie in I Love a Mystery during the last few years of the show. There were earlier actors played that part. Mercedes McCambridge, who won an Academy Award in the movies, played hundreds of parts and sometimes half a dozen parts on the same program. She was so versatile in changing her voice. Orson Welles once called Mercedes McCambridge the greatest actress in entertainment in any field.
And he should know.
He ought to know, since he's one of the greatest talents in the history of radio. Of course, Orson Welles was the Shadow,
right,
as well as the host of the Mercury Theater and the man who invaded the world with the Martians back in 1938.
Jim Harmon, our guest on Monitor, his book, The Great Radio Heroes. And, Jim, I think we'll go back once again for this one.
Gangbusters! Calling the G-Men, calling all Americans to war on the underworld.
Another long run for that one, right, Jim?
Yes, it ran into, I think it ran to about 1957 or 58, which is a very long run on radio. And it started in the very early 30s. I don't have the date. It's in my book, The Great
right.
Radio Heroes. The thing I always enjoyed about Gangbusters was their ingenious use of the word proxy. Everything was a proxy. They'd always say, and now here by proxy is our host, Colonel H. Norman Schwarzkopf. And of course, and then they would say, and now here's a proxy interview with Sheriff Lim Carson of El Paso, Texas. And of course, proxy meant that everybody was impersonated by some actor. Don McLaughlin impersonated Colonel H. Norman Schwarzkopf, and he also did the voice of David Harding, counter spy.
Here's another great show.
And now, get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Vic and Sade, written by Paul Reimer. Well, sir, it's about mid-morning as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now, and here in the living room we find Mr. Rushcook all by himself. The young man is at the telephone, and since he's busily engaged with pencil and paper, we gather he's taking down a message. Listen.
Ever yours in the golden shackles of the fraternity, Robert and Slobbert Hank. Okay, Miss Hammersley. Yeah, I believe I got it all.
Beautiful basic simplicity, right, Jim?
Yes, that, unless I'm mistaken, that was Billy Idelson as the son. There were other actors play the part, but I think that was Billy. And, of course, Vic was played by Art Van Harvey, and his wife was played by Bernadine Flynn, who was also Ma Perkins' daughter. They doubled a lot in those old soap operas. Of course, Vic and Sade was a classic program that was much more than a soap opera. It was great American humor.
Speaking of Lone Ranger, I think this next one was sort of a partner out of the same radio factory in Detroit, I believe.
This fellow that we're about to hear was in the storyline itself, was the grand nephew of the Lone Ranger.
Okay, let's listen.
The Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies that even the G-Men cannot reach. The Green Hornet.
There it is, Jim. Comment?
Yes, well, of course, that's a very old opening from the early 30s. As I mentioned in my book, The Great Radio Heroes, the opening was changed at the request of J. Edgar Hoover, who didn't believe that there were any public enemies that the G-Men couldn't catch. So later on it became, he hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who would destroy our America.
Mm.
And that was the opening till about 1952 when the Green Hornet went off the air. And it's back in revival form, too. The old recordings are still playing on some stations.
Jim, the mysteries were so big in those days. Let's talk about those.
Well, yeah, of course, The Green Hornet was a great mystery show, and another program done by the same man who did Grand Central Station, Hyman Brown. It was another anthology drama, and it was always hosted by the mysterious Raymond.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, that was Raymond Edward Johnson.
Here it is.
You can relax now, friends. This story is over. But still another plot is being formed for our next session in the inner sanctum.
There's that great door, Jim.
That's a great closing.
Jim Harmon, thanks for telling us about your heroes and mine, the great radio heroes, as recalled in your new book of the same name on Monitor. To keep your world rosy, remember this Christmas, as every Christmas, every woman alive wants Chanel No. 5.